Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women moan boys. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Trump Phenomenon Radio Show here on November 7th, 2021. I'm James Kelso, your host for the next 2 hours, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, regular slot for the Trump Phenomenon Radio Show. And you're welcome to call in during the show. The call-in number is 512-248-8252. And you may have occasion to call in. You can talk to our engineer, on the show. Because the first thing I'll share with you today is the, as some of you may already know, the sad news that the founder, the creator of the Republic Broadcasting Network, John Stadtmiller, died on Friday. And he had an unexpected death. So the I'm awaiting details myself that I would pass along to you. But the that's terrible news, and I'm not sure if any of my information. I believe John Stadtmiller was 67 years old. That's what I heard. And the died at home, and it was a sudden thing, as best I understand it. And by the time medical personnel arrived, John was gone. So the struggle on here on John's creation, his baby, which is the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's been his life's work, and he surely was caught by surprise himself at only 67. He was just in the middle of his prime years. So that's the sad news. The one thing that you might consider as a supporter of the Republic Broadcasting Network is your if you want to help out, you can call the engineer at the number I gave you, I'll repeat it, and offer your help at 512-248-8252. And at this time, if you, for instance, make a financial contribution to RBN, the it will be put on hold. You can give your information, credit card and so on, give your information, and but it won't be run until all the sorts of things that happen when somebody dies unexpectedly, until those things are resolved. The but that's the bad news to begin the show. And the John's looking down on us, and hoping we'll pick up the torch that was taken from his hands prematurely. So the that's the big news. The news since we last met up here in the Trump Clubhouse would make John happy. That is, we're showing signs of life here. As John leaves this life, we're showing signs of life in the Patriot cause. The trouncing of the communists in Virginia is a wonderful event, and it's all too beautiful. And it bodes well for what's going to happen in November of 2022. And boy, that is, here we are in November of 2021. So this is just days, more than a year away from now. Or, well, I don't know. What is the November date in 2022 for our next election? We're 1 year away. And I guess it would be maybe less than a year. I think elections are the first Tuesday in November. And I'll go to a news item here in a moment. Polling is, of course, the poll. And this is all the more amazing because pretty much most of the polls are controlled by the enemy. So when a poll announces that Patriots would win an election if held today, the Patriots are surging everywhere. That's an admission against interest, as they say in a court of law. That's the left. It's so bad, it's so blatant. The train wreck that the communists are experiencing, that they have to admit it. and it shows through in their even in their polling. So we'll go to that story in the course of the show today. And if we can take back the House and take back the Senate, one or the other would stop the bleeding. But if we can take back both, even better, and stop this communist administration of Comrade Biden. And it's looking as if we will be able to do it. And it's looking as if, well, the question is, how much damage will Joe Biden manage to destroy America in the 12 months he has left in which to do that? I'm thinking if, as we get down to the wire, November of 2022, it's going to be harder and harder for the communists in the Democrat Senate and the communists in the Democrat House to do more damage, because people will be sensing here comes an election. I think polling at that time will show the Republicans are going to win. So as it becomes obvious that Nancy Pelosi's reign of terror is coming to an end, how does she continue it? And Chuckie Schumer may have to get off his high horse if it's becoming obvious he will not be the Senate Majority Leader anymore as of November of 2022. So I think some of the Democrats, well, a bunch of the Democrat senators and congressmen will be running for their lives politically. A number of them will be facing losing their seats. And so this is not a good moment for them to vote communist. So it'll be, I think, ever harder as we near the election. I think it'll become ever more hard for Comrade Pelosi and Comrade Schumer to push through any of Comrade Biden's and the Communist Party's agenda. And I think that's the right thing to say about the Democrat Party. I know John Stadtmuller's looking down on us and agreeing. It really is the Communist Party. The Communists, just as we Trump enthusiasts have taken over the Republican Party, that's the good news. The Communists have taken over the Demon Rat Party, the Democrat Party. So here it is, Patriots against Communists, a la 1917. We're face to face, eyeball to eyeball with the Bolsheviks. I'm not as pessimistic as I was a few months ago because of things like the Virginia success. And it appears we succeeded also in New Jersey. It appears that we actually won in New Jersey, but the communists managed in the middle of the night to steal that election. And that's the president, that is President Trump, the actual president of the United States right now. The president indicated as much in his one of his messages, where he said, we Republicans are going to have to win. We're going to have vote totals above the margin of fraud. I think that's the term he used. It was a very apt term, the margin of fraud. So the point being, if an election is has a margin of small enough margin, the communists can then shift their fraud machine into high gear. And in the hours that it takes in the middle of the night after an election, they can cheat enough votes to steal that election. And as President Trump was saying, you've got to win by a wide enough margin that you exceed the capacity of the communists to defraud. So that's a burden we bear. going into every election now. Of course, we'll try to combat. Well, this will never change. Communists, there was a book years ago by an Australian, and I'm trying to remember his name. His last name was Schwartz, I believe. And some of you that are older, like myself, you may remember this book. It was an Australian. I'll look it up here in a moment. It just, the memory just came to me here. The title of the book was, "You Can Trust the Communists." That was the great tease in the title. "You Can Trust the Communists," and then dot, 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 "to be communists." And you certainly can. What's his name? Let me look him up here real quickly. It was a good book. And boy, was he ahead of his time. And this was, I read this back in my John Birch Society active days. You Can Trust the Communists. Let's see here. See how much it costs. The younger folks, you might want to read this book. I think if I type in "You Can Trust," and I'm doing something I'd rather not do, which is I'm actually looking this up on the hated Amazon. "You Can Trust the Communists. To be communists." There it is. Autocomplete. Been filling it in for me. And there it is. Yeah, there's the old cover that I remember so well. How old was I back then? Fred. That's his first name. Fred Schwartz. Let's click on it and see how it's... when it was published, and that's when I would have read it. 1972, mass market paperback edition, 1972. Customer reviews, 4.5 stars. And here's the, here's a review. Let's see if it, what does the summary of the book say here? Boy, what a memory. I mean, this is a trip down memory lane here, this cover. And I don't know where my original copy is. Somewhere in, across the United States is my copy. Here's the first reviewer. He says, "Long before Saul Alinsky, the ways of attacking a target were well known, whether it be shooting an arrow, throwing a rock, launching a Sidewinder missile, or exposing a Democrat. Parentheses, communist. The method is always the same." Let's see, let me read ahead here. "Communists are not liberty lovers. Communists are not social. Social is what your mother wanted you to be with your little playmates. Communists are not progressive. Communism was the first form of government used way back." Let's see, wait. Blah, blah, blah. Well, this is just a review. He summarizes his outline, that is Fred Schwartz's, of their strategy and tactics is a timeless warning. Now, this is kind of interesting. I'm going to read another review here, written in 2010. And I'm just reading this for the first time cold. I'm reading for the first time. "This is an exposition of the facts that those once ubiquitously labeled communist are clearly stating that global domination is in fact their stated goal. And, if one does not oppose the abolition of the sovereign individual, then one does not oppose the abolition of freedom. Slavery is guaranteed security. If that's what you want." Of course, I disagree with, I see the person's point here. This is a good person. I could quibble with a bit of it, but we'll come right back to this after a break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendabite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendabite a try. Extendabite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendabite.
We're back, folks, and talking about Fred Schwartz and John Stadtmiller joined Fred Schwartz as someone who has died. Sad news here at Republic Broadcasting. John Stadtmiller dying on Friday. The person I was just talking about, Dr. M.D. Frederick Charles Schwartz, died in 2009. And I just was remembering him. The topic came up in this way. I was thinking to myself, I was about to utter the concept that cheating in elections is what communists do. That is what they do. They always do it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they kill. That is what they do. It is in their nature. It's who they are. So you don't have to ask why do they do it or do they do it. They do it in every way all the time. And I was reading a review of this book. Well, and that brought back an idea that I first read as a mere youth. And I think I read it before. I was looking at the paperback publication in 1972. The hardback of You Can Trust the Communists came out in 1961, and that's more the time frame in which I would have read Dr. Schwartz's book. That's when I was starting to understand anti-communism. And How old was I then? I graduated from high school in 65, so I was 18 then, 17, I guess. I skipped a grade. So but he died in 2009, Frederick Schwartz, born in 1913, so he lived a long life, 96 years, it appears. Born in Brisbane, Australia, a medical doctor, and he founded the Christian Anti-Communism Crusade. Made a number of speaking tours in the United States in the 1950s. In 1960, he moved his base of operations to California. That's when I would have run into Fred Schwartz. He was the author of the international bestseller, You Can Trust the Communists to Be Communists, published in 1960. And see another detail here. Well, let's go back to that review I was reading of the book, because the reviewer makes a good point here at the point where I was reading it. He says, a fabulous little read on the subject of communism and why those who profess such an intellectually bankrupt academic utopian ideology will always do exactly what they are predicted to. And notice this is what we're encountering now. Comrade Pelosi, Comrade Schumer, Comrade Biden, they're doing exactly what they said they would do. And some people, who are a bit naive about it, I would include in that Sean Hannity, who I love, but he's a bit naive about Comrade Biden. He somehow is not... Maybe Sean Hannity never read You Can Trust the Communists to Be Communists. He somehow thinks Joe Biden is making a mistake or is being manipulated, doesn't know what he's doing, is stumbling about. No, he's not stumbling about. He's doing what communists do, and he is a communist. The sad reality is that far too many of the progressively enlightened, useful idiots and self-righteous, narcissistic unthinkers have infiltrated into all aspects of Western society, banking, politics, academia, media, etc. And he gives, this guy lists some other books, The Rise of Radicalism, Techniques of Communism, The Naked Communist by W. Cleon Skousen. I had the privilege of meeting with Cleon Skousen and his son. And another reviewer says, this book should be read by every American who cares about the future of our freedom. This was written back in 2015, right after Donald Trump had first appeared as a candidate. Here's another reviewer. I recommend this book for all Americans, especially students, and those with socialist progressive leanings. The blueprint for much of what you are seeing happening in the world today can be found in these pages. It's all decades in the making and is now bearing fruit. Indeed. See you right on the other side of this message.
Best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Some folks call me a rambling man. I do a lot of thumbing and kicking cans, and it wouldn't do an ounce of good to call my name. 'Cause daddy's name wasn't Willie Woodrow, and I wasn't born and raised in no ghetto. Just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Well, I'm out to find me a wealthy woman in a line of work that don't take no diploma. I ain't got much to lose, but got a lot to gain. Well, some might call me a good time fella. I ain't black and I ain't a yellow, just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing.
Hey, we're back. I'm going to move off to something that's front and center for all of us right now, which is the vaccine mandate. We'll talk about that. That might perhaps will be the center of this show. It's the center of what's happening to us right now. And the communists are being communists. Joe Biden and his vaccine mandate, that is communism on steroids. And the it is Trotskyism, Stalinism, Pol Potism, Mao Zedong, Mao pile of dungism on steroids. It is tyranny. I love that quote. And nobody, shame on me. I should have looked it up myself. Perhaps somebody in the audience can help us out. When and where did Thomas Jefferson, and can we confirm Thomas Jefferson wrote, when tyranny becomes law. Revolution becomes duty. I'm usually not good at remembering quotes, but that one really sticks. When tyranny becomes law, revolution becomes duty. And of course, that concept is at the heart of the Declaration of Independence. You know, when in the course of events, you know, a long train of abuses, tyranny, you tried everything else, you tried every appeal, thwarted by the tyrant, and you're down to the last resort that you have as a free man or woman to self-defense. That's where the Second Amendment came from the mind of people like Thomas Jefferson, who had just lived and some of them died that truth, that was it Jefferson who said that the tree of liberty is watered with the blood of tyrants and patriots? That's another one. Somebody could find it, where that appears in, is it Jefferson, and where does it appear? These are all things that kids in school should be memorizing. You know, schools in my day, I graduated high school in 65 out in California. There was still some education occurring in school. But it's funny, I appeared in a book, in a Time magazine article, and then in a national bestseller book, What Really Happened to the Class of 65. And in it, the teenage version of myself, I actually called the school system, I think I called them brainwashing pens. I think some of that was teenaged angst, not the wisdom of later years. But anyway, I'll give myself a pat on the back for saying that the school system had already become a brainwashing pen. But it sure is a heck of a lot worse now. So I'm going to shift topics here. I'm jumping around. I know it. If you want to call in, you can join the conversation with anything on your mind at 502-248-8252. Front and center, I believe, is the greatest attack against liberty by the communists, which is the vaccine mandate. If those in power can order everyone to submit to being injected with an unidentified, experimental, untried, and obviously dangerous and sometimes lethal injection, an injection right into your bloodstream, an injection that will visit every cell in your body, every cell in your brain. If the communists, now in control of the American government, can do that, that's it, folks. You can't go. What would be a step beyond that? You have no liberty. If they get away with that, if they succeed, liberty in America will be destroyed. And if you wanted to go something beyond that, would be simply if they're, you know, the communists lining us up and putting a 22 bullet in the back of our brain. That would be the only step beyond injecting you with an unknown toxic substance. Let's take a call here from James in Vancouver. James, thanks for calling. Come in, James.
65. Sorry? 19.
Yes.
1965 was the high point for American education in the century, the 20th century. I know, for example, the physics program that was used in high schools, we used it up in Canada, at least some schools did, and it was a fantastic course. I think it came out of MIT. But I'd like to offer my condolences to you and all the listeners and family of John Admiller. Extend to you all my condolences. And I was a frequent caller to his show. And in some way, I think we got to know each other a little bit. And I just wanted to express my deepest sympathy.
Well, thank you. And the, you know, I think he was 67 years old, and for, you know, he was just, I mean, that's a life cut short. And so he must have had tremendous plans for RBN and for, you know, the contribution that he was making. So I hope he's he had some chance to write it down, to communicate it to, you know, his closest friends. And that, you know, people can continue the projects that he that were interrupted for him. So that's and we'll find out, you know, in the in coming days and weeks, we'll find out what. But I know for anybody, any of us, think of it, you know, whatever your life's work is for any of us, you don't want it to be, if it's cut short, you die unexpectedly. Just think of all the things that you haven't prepared and all the plans that are interrupted, and you don't have a good, you know, a good, well, you just interrupted. But thank you, James. And thank you for your thought on education being at a high point in 65. That's when I graduated. Yep. So maybe, I don't mean to interject any levity here, but maybe the decline of American education started when they let me out of high school.
You see, in that era, in the 60s, common sense was still around. As we progressed over a couple of decades, common sense has been eroded. And one more point, if I could, you mentioned the bullet in the head. Now, I used to see that frequently when I worked in China for 2 years, people getting taken out and shot. The organ harvesting wasn't effective science, shall we say. And I used to watch execution parades all the time.
And wow.
There, you know, all those is some kind of ideal world and some kind of miracle heaven, okay? That's not the way it is. It's certainly not the way it was and not the way it is today, okay? So you're, as far as I'm concerned, you're 100% because communists, you can depend on it, okay? And again, my sympathy to everybody. And
well, the Chinese connection that you mentioned, James, and I was a member of the John Birch Society for quite a while, and that was sort of the launch of my own anti-communist trajectory.
Right.
There's a Chinese connection there for folks unfamiliar with the John Birch Society. The when the John Birch Society was created in a national meeting of prominent patriots in Belmont, Massachusetts, I forget the year, but it was in the 1960s or late 1950s. And how did they pick the name John Birch Society? Well, John Birch was a Christian missionary in China. Yeah. And he was killed by the Chinese communists. I think it was around 1948, or maybe it was maybe it was 45 actually, right as the war was ending. But in the 40s, John Birch was killed by the communists and for being an anti-communist. And so Robert Welch, the founder of the John Birch Society, viewed John Birch as the first casualty of the Cold War.
Right.
Named him in honor of named the society in honor of John Birch.
Right.
But that was the boy, that's amazing, James, to think. I mean, when you know, it's the things you've seen as you describe, yeah, and the places, yeah, you've been, you know.
Yeah, can I? Yeah. One more thing. When I came back to my little hometown in the West, I'll just put it in that location, and I started telling my friends and my college professors what I saw when I was in China, and them having some kind of political clout, Dicoms tried to assassinate me with poison. And believe it or not, they did it in Taiwan. Okay?
Wow.
I knew it was poison because as soon as it was in my mouth, it was like somebody took a vice to my heart. Okay? And if I would have swallowed it, I would have been dead. But I went to the washroom politely and quickly and spit it out. And then I told them, well, I'll be right back. And I walked it off. You see? So that is a very, very tried and true method, is poison. Okay? And,
you know, James, it was someone like yourself. You know, I'm a big mouth. But I've never had any experiences on that order. You know, somebody like yourself is a witness to the beast. You've been in the belly of the beast. You know, you should have a radio show, and it's an honor to have you appear. Yes. But that's something that I'm assuming you're older in the way I am. And the us older folks, one of the things we can do is convey to the younger people how it was and how things that were possible, like you mentioned 1965, there being, yep, a lot of good things happening in our country.
Right.
There was, I mean, it really was, for you younger people listening, James in Vancouver and I can tell you, yep, that America was a wholesome place in 1965. And it was so much a wholesome place that younger people like myself, it didn't even occur to me to be cynical or to think that my future was clouded with, you know, I would never have thought there could be a tyranny. I would have never thought in 1965 that someday I would be ordered to have an injection of a,
yes,
of a unknown toxic,
right,
chemical.
And they're,
right, and folks, getting to the point that we were mentioning, James, that right now the status of it is this madman, Chairman Biden, has issued an order, and he issued it under the auspices of the occupational, believe it or not, this came out as an OSHA bulletin. Do you, yep, believe that? An OSHA bulletin commanding every company in America with 100 or more employees, that their employees all be vaccinated.
Right.
and you know,
there's the poison.
Yeah, there's the poison. And but to think about it now, and when you say companies over 100, I was talking with my wife about this, you know, like I thought, well, you know, like what company could I work for? You know, well, you could get a job with a company with less than 100. There aren't many such companies, folks. It doesn't take a small company can easily have 100 employees. You're talking, right, about the only companies under 100 are going to be companies that are a mom and pop local store,
right,
or a mom and pop local, you know, specialty business. But any store go ahead.
And that's the heartland of America. That's the heartland of America. You're right there in North Dakota. And that's exactly the kind of industry they got in North Dakota, right? Less than 100. And they want to break the economy, these SO, you know what?
Yes.
What I'm saying.
Yes.
You're in the heartland, right there.
Yeah. Now here's the update. 11, and I think there's some more states now, have filed a petition led by the state of Texas in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, enjoining or petitioning the court to enjoin and to stay the presidential order. It's just an OSHA, right. An OSHA bulletin, ladies and gentlemen. Now, wonderfully, thank goodness, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has stopped the Biden order, suspended the Biden order pending the litigation, which will be on an expedited basis. But this must be stopped because this is Thomas Jefferson is spinning in his grave. All yep. The founding fathers are spinning in their graves at the thought that this great American people that have come this far and done this much and have been the champion.
Right.
We have been the champions of liberty
in
all of history. This glorious civilization, that we could be reduced to being simpering cowards who would accept being injected. Now, let me say this. Let me add this, James. Many of the people hearing James's voice in mine right now, you've gotten an injection. And nobody's making fun of you. Nobody's questioning anything about you. You got screwed. We'll put it that way. But you're not a bad person. There were many people misleading you. And so for all sorts of reasons that are understandable, you got the injection. We're on your team. You're on our team. This is not just a message for those who didn't get the injection. Because a lot of really good patriots have gotten the injection. And that's going to bring me, James, to one of the topics I want to talk about in today's show, which is the dilemma for President Trump. Donald Trump must, and President Trump, if you're listening to this, or anybody who knows somebody who knows you, if somehow the word can be gotten to you, you must immediately strongly condemn the vaccine mandate. You must immediately strongly champion liberty, the sovereignty of each of us over our own bodies. You must do this. If you don't, you have failed horribly. And here's the deal. This is what came up at that rally. Which rally was it? But it was one of the last three Trump rallies. I think it was the one in Alabama, where maybe it was in Georgia. But Donald Trump was shocked. You could see it in his face. You could hear it in his voice. When he started to say something kind of offhanded and cheery about the vaccine, the crowd booed.
Right.
And boy, he was fast on his feet. But I'm telling you, there's a reason he hasn't had a rally since then. No rallies.
Right.
He was hot on the rally trail. He was ready to start rally after rally. There hasn't been a rally. And I'll tell you, in my opinion, this is just Kelso from the peanut gallery. I think he has withdrawn into his own council. He is thinking hard. He's reading hard. He's talking to some key people, and he's sorting out, what am I going to do? I mentioned that everybody in this audience who's been vaccinated, you've been screwed. Well, guess who else got screwed? President Trump.
Yeah.
And he is a victim also of the con job, the communist con job by Anthony Fauci, all the rest of the communists. This whole thing was put over on us. And it's one of the greatest crimes, maybe the greatest crime in all of history, is the scamdemic. Maybe the greatest crime in all of history. But the president hasn't staged a rally, and one reason being that he's got to get up on that podium and face 10, 20, 50,000 of us, maybe half a million of us, as he did on January 6th. We're going to be booing the vaccine, and we're going to be booing it loudly. There will be no cheers for the vaccine. So the president is going to have to completely, you know, he's got to figure out, what did they do to me? How did they do it? And then what is his path out? Now, this is not, this is easy for Kelso, for me, from the peanut gallery. You know, I'm Mr. Know-it-all. You know, I've got an answer for everything. But Donald Trump is in a much more difficult position. He has to win the White House in 2024. So he can't be like me. He can't call, he can't call people SOBs. He does a real good job. But he can't be as, I don't think he can be as quick to condemn the vaccine as I am, or you, or anybody else in this audience. He's got to find a way to, and I think the way, the route that's wide open for him is to condemn the vaccine mandate. Right. He doesn't have to condemn the vaccine. I'll condemn the vaccine, and all the rest of us will too. But he has to condemn the mandate. And he can do that without in any way, he's just defending liberty. He isn't commenting on the vaccine. He isn't commenting on the merits or demerits of the vaccine. He's saying liberty. You know, even if it were a good vaccine, even if it were effective and harmless and wonderful and a miracle of medicine, of course, which it's not, there's no place, there's no place. I mean, let's think of a miracle drug. Penicillin, that is a miracle drug. It saved millions and millions of lives. Nevertheless, there's no place for a presidential OSHA order commanding that everybody in the United States get a penicillin shot. that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit with liberty or freedom in any way. So that's what the president needs to come out and condemn. And if he'll do that, if he'll come right out front, stage in his next rally, and be plain with us and say, you know, to hell with the vaccine mandate, to hell with, or I love it. He should mix that in with a chant of "Let's go, Brandon."
Well, there are dark forces. There are dark forces against Trump. I always have been since 2015, and I can sympathize with the man, because I think he's been threatened seven ways to Sunday, to quote that other idiot. Anyway.
Well, James, I'll tell you what. We got a break coming up. I love when you call, James. Call again soon.
All right. Thanks, Chandler.
We'll see you shortly. Stay tuned, folks.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic.